At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warmer fully low. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Spears, and now a part of the VSiN family of podcasts, and we've got an incredible podcast for you as we've got another conference preview on tap today. We rally for the Missouri Valley Conference. A few days ago, you may have heard my Ohio Valley Conference preview, and you know what? Taking a look at fades is always fun, but as you can tell, it was a little bit depleted because the top two teams, they're now out there in the Missouri Valley Conference, so this is going to be a fun one to take a look at in the second segment. Helping me take a look at all these rosters, taking a look at all the movement that we wound up seeing in the offseason, Kevin Sweeney does an absolutely amazing job over there at Sports Illustrated, along with his own podcast, the CBB Central Podcast, which you're able to find wherever you get this podcast. We're going to be taking a look at all of that with him in the final segment. Going to give you guys my projector or finish for the Valley, and here in the first segment, going to be taking a look at the betting trends of the Missouri Valley and also the styles of play that we can wind up expecting as well. And if you ever have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And since I am not doing the news and notes of college basketball today, since I am doing a conference preview, those are going to be polished up tomorrow. Anything that I wind up missing from Thursday, so I have no fear. I've got you guys covered there, but let's get down to business. Let's take a look at what we can expect. Well, every single year in the conference, without fail, you're always able to take a look at the styles of play, and you can expect something relatively slow. And also, along with what we wind up seeing in terms of Belmont and Murray State joining this conference, you also wind up having one more add and one more reduction. UIC, Illinois, Chicago, they are now in the conference. You wind up losing Loyola Chicago. We're going to be previewing our good friends later on this offseason when we wind up doing our Atlantic 10 conference preview, and that is going to be a big bummer of a conference preview as well. But you do take a look at the Missouri Valley Conference, and you had one team play relatively up-tempo in comparison to the others. That'd be Illinois State. Illinois State, they wound up getting out there. They wound up really pushing the tempo until you wound up seeing Dan Muller wind up getting canned as the coach of this team. They were 65th in the country in terms of overall possessions per game, and that is very much an oddity when it comes to this conference, as most of these teams, they play very, very slow. Like, we wound up seeing Northern Iowa last season play uncharacteristically fast. And by uncharacteristically fast, I mean there were 358 D1 teams last season. They were 176th in terms of overall possessions per game, as they had ranked 310th or lower in 6 straight seasons prior to the 2020-21 season, and that's a lot of what you could expect. Loyola Chicago, they were always a relatively slow team when they were out in this conference, and I mean, the headliner of them all, Southern Illinois, out of your 358 D1 teams, they were 355th in terms of possessions per game, so you really knew what you were going to be able to expect out there, and you really didn't see any other team that was super duper demonstratively slow. Your next slowest team, that wound up being Evansville, and well, Evansville was just a mess. They wound up canning Ty Licklider, and rightfully so after the sad, sad season that we wound up seeing last year from them. They wound up ranking 330th in terms of possessions per game, but most of these teams, they rank like in the low to mid 200s in terms of their possessions per game. Like last year, while they were in the conference, Loyola Chicago, they wound up clocking in at 287th. You would see a bunch of teams like, for instance, Strake wind up coming in 264th. Valparaiso was 254th. You're able to go down the list of teams that they want being in that low to mid 200 range. Bradley was 225th. So you did wind up seeing quite a few slow teams. They're not like super duper snail paced teams. And I do think that it's going to be interesting to see how these new teams that are coming into the conference are going to be able to blend, because Murray State was one of the few teams in all of college basketball that were in the top 25 last year in terms of both points scored and points allowed on a per possession basis. They completely dominated the Ohio Valley Conference. As a matter of fact, 15 plus conference wins in four out of their last five seasons, one of the very few teams to go undefeated in conference play in the last, forget last year, last few years. They were 216th last season in terms of possessions per game. Belmont is always a team that they like to crank things up a little bit as well. They weren't super duper fast last season, but they were 103rd in terms of possessions per game. Illinois Chicago, they're going to probably have a little bit of a rough time with it. They were a middling team out there in the Horizon League last season. They were 126. So I do think that this could wind up resulting in things being a little bit more different in terms of pace of play. We'll get into how these teams wind up faring in terms of conference play in a minute. But you do take a look at the over and under trends that we wound up seeing last season. Indiana State was your demonstrative team to the over. Josh Schertz, who wound up coming in from Lincoln Memorial College, a D2 school that in four out of his last 5 years there, I actually think five out of his last six, averaged at least 79.5 points per contest. That wound up resulting in them being very much a good over team, especially in the early part of the season when a lot of people weren't expecting it. 18 overs to 10 unders with them. They had to slow down a little bit when they wound up being just wrecked by COVID towards the middle part of the season, but they were still up tempo. And as a matter of fact, you only wound up having two teams in the conference wind up playing more unders than overs. Bradley, they wound up playing 17 out of their 30 games to the under. Southern Illinois, I mentioned it, 355th in terms of possessions per game out of their 30 games. 19 of them wound up going under. Missouri State, very efficient offense. They wound up playing 21 overs to 12 unders. Valparaiso along Northern Iowa, they both wound up playing between 61.5% and 63.5% of their games to the over. Illinois State, the most up-tempo team in this conference, they wound up having 18 overs to 13 unders. And if you take a look at the two teams that are going to be coming in from the Ohio Valley Conference in Murray State along with Belmont, both of these teams were relatively solid to the under. Belmont wound up playing 18 unders to 14 overs. Murray State, very close to it, 17 unders to 14 overs. So I think that's going to be a little bit of a unique blend. And then when you dive into UIC, while they were out there in the Horizon League last season, 19 overs to 10 unders. So bookmakers, it felt like, underestimated this conference just a little bit. You did wind up having a lot of equally matched teams as well, because even Loyola Chicago, they were the team that they wound up representing this conference in the NCAA tournament. I would make the argument it took Loyola Chicago a little bit of time to be able to find their footing. I thought that they would be a little bit more dominant than they were, even with losing Porter Mosier to Oklahoma. That resulted in them not being so great against the spread, despite Loyola Chicago being a chic pick for winning a game in the NCAA tournament. They went 13-18-1 against the spread. You're going to find out underdogs in this conference did really well. Drake, they wound up finishing towards the top of this conference. They went 12-21 against the spread. That was a bad mark in college basketball. They were able to avoid the bottom 15, but not by a whole heck of a lot. Evansville was just bad. They went 13-15 against the spread. And your top teams against the spread, Valparaiso went 16-14 against the spread. Illinois State, 17-14 against the spread. Bradley, 17-13 against the spread. And then Southern Illinois, 18-12 against the spread. A lot of it is because the heavy favorites, Drake and Loyola Chicago, they just were not able to cover as favorites. You take a look at the against the spread mark that we wound up seeing for favorites last season. Drake, 8-16 against the spread. Northern Iowa, 7-12-1 against the spread. And they won the conference regular season crown in the Missouri Valley Conference, contrary to what you might wind up thinking about them. And then Loyola Chicago, they went 12-16-1 against the spread as well. As it was really just conference play that wound up ravaging Loyola Chicago, as Loyola Chicago within the conference, 7-13-1 against the spread. I think a lot of people took a look at what they wound up seeing from Loyola Chicago, and I believe it was the Bahamas, their multi-team event, and then they wound up buying in a little bit too high on them, and well, it wound up burning them. Meanwhile, Southern Illinois, they were really a team that was able to get things going in conference play. They went 13-6 against the spread in conference, and you could tell that home court advantage last season, when it came to this conference, it depended upon the team, because once again, the teams that were laying small numbers at home, they were very good at home. Illinois State, 10-5 against the spread at home. Bradley, 9-4 against the spread at home. Southern Illinois, 10-4 against the spread at home. Evansville was 7-4 against the spread at home. Northern Iowa was 7-6 against the spread at home. Meanwhile, Drake, 6-9 against the spread at home. Loyal Chicago, 4-9 against the spread at home, and that just bleeds into how underdogs were just able to reign supreme in this conference. Southern Illinois is an underdog. They went 11-6 against the spread. Valparaiso, Illinois State, 11-8 against the spread when catching points. Evansville was just hopeless. They went 10-14 against the spread when they were catching points. They were just a no good, very bad, terrible team. Indiana State, 8-10-2 against the spread as an underdog. Many of those games were while they were just having COVID wreak havoc on them, so that was a little bit of an issue. Loyal Chicago went 1-1 against the spread as an underdog. They just didn't have a lot of opportunities, but as you can tell, taking the points, they were your friend in this conference, as once again, Loyal Chicago, they were able to get the job done during the 2021-22 season while they were in the conference. And if you take a look at what we wound up getting in the other conference, in which it wound up housing a lot of these teams, Belmont and Murray State reigned supreme out there in the OVC. Murray State went 18-0 against OVC competition. Belmont, the very clear number two, 15-3. These two teams, they just wound up completely dominating while they were out there in that conference. And for Illinois Chicago, it was a case in which it wound up being a little bit touch and go for them while they were out there in the Horizon League. They went 9-10 in Horizon League play last season. They went 6-10 two seasons ago. And really, while they were out there in the Horizon League, they really didn't do a whole heck of a lot better than 10-8. They had a banner year during the 2017-18 season. They were able to make a run in the CBI under the tutelage of Steve McClain when they wound up going 12-6 in conference play. But really, past that, it was a lot of bare years for UIC. They have not necessarily been a bunch that has been able to do a whole heck of a lot in recent years, so we shall see how they wind up faring, as I've been talking about Evansville and I've been pooping on them for quite a while. And the big reason why, they wound up going 2-16 straight up in conference play last season. Indiana State, once again, ravaged by COVID, first year head coach, list goes on and on. They go 4-14 in conference play. Illinois State did not wind up doing well either, 5-13 in conference play. Valparaiso, they went 6-12 in conference play, as it was really a bottom four and then everyone else was able to rise up. Northern Iowa actually won the conference at 14-4 with their record. Missouri State, Loyal Chicago, now out of the fold along Drake. They went 13-5 in terms of their conference mark. Bradley was a very solid 11-7. And then Southern Illinois, they were able to piecemeal together a 9-9 mark in conference play. And it's going to be interesting to take a look at them, because they wound up winning four out of their last five regular season conference games. So they were able to pick up some nice steam late. And then you wound up seeing Northern Iowa win 9 out of their last 10 in conference play to be able to close out and be able to get that crown as well. So we've got a very interesting conference, a conference full of teams that typically they like to play a little bit more defense. But as you can tell from what I've been describing, we've got some more offensive and some more up-tempo teams. They're going to be coming into the Missouri Valley Conference here to talk about all the rosters, all the offseason movement that we've seen with the Missouri Valley Conference. That'd be Kevin Sweeney, does an amazing job with Sports Illustrated along with the CBB Central podcast, which you're able to get wherever you find this podcast. And he's going to be joining me next right here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg H. Spears, and now part of the VEASAN family of podcasts. And this is the Missouri Valley Conference Preview Edition.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
We're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Epstein, and now part of the VSiN family of podcasts as we continue our look at the Missouri Valley Conference. And for those of you guys that want to hearing my Ohio Valley Conference preview a few days ago, you know that, well, a big reason why that conference preview is a little bit more sad is because we wound up having the top teams from the OVC head to the Missouri Valley Conference, and a man that has been covering the Valley unlike any other, that'd be Kevin Sweeney. He does an absolutely amazing job taking a look at the game of college basketball for Sports Illustrated. And then on top of that, he does a great job with the CBB Central podcast. You're able to follow him on Twitter at CBB_Central all together. And Kevin, my friend, it is always a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Greg. Less than 100 days. We're plugging away.
We are plugging away. And let's first talk about the teams that are coming into the Valley. As no more Loyola Chicago, that is a little bit unfortunate. But you've got a Belmont group that year in and year out, you know that this team is going to be fire-powered. The problem for Belmont is that they do wind up losing a lot of their top scorers from last season. This is going to be a little bit of a new-look bunch. Now, Belmont, what I find to be really incredible with them is that they have ranked in the top five in two-point shooting percentage in each out of the last, I believe now, four seasons. They're just an absolute force with that. They bring in Drew Freiberg. He averaged right around 9.5 points per game last season at Princeton, so he was relatively solid. And Ben Shepherd returns, but lots of moving parts for this Belmont team, so I do think that they're going to need to have guys really step up this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those weird things where I think obviously you have some level of concern. They've had more roster turnover than they've had in the past, particularly with guys leaving the program. You know, certainly Will Richard could have went anywhere in the country, and you kind of live with that. But Jacoby Wood was a guy that was in this program that was, you know, someone that people thought had maybe a big future, and he transfers out. You don't get any COVID years from guys like Buzinski and Grayson Murphy, and I get that, right? You know, these guys have been around it for a while, and you have to remember a lot of them weren't even recruited by Casey Alexander. You know, it was all the way back when Rick Byrd was still the coach, which was 3 years ago. So certainly a bit of a transition year, but I think they'll be competitive. You know, I don't think they'll win the league, but I think they'll be still in the top half. But Shepherd can really score. Freiberg will hit shots for them. I think he'll be a great fit in their system. Obviously, it's a different offense than Princeton, but I think having come from a Princeton system, I think will help with all the spacing and the cutting and all the things that, you know, Alexander likes to do. He is a Rick Byrd disciple. And then I think the big key for them is the point guard with Keyshawn Davidson transferring from the Ohio Valley to Tennessee Tech, I believe. They need him to be a really steady piece for them. If he does that, they'll be fine. You know, Casey Alexander's won 80% of his games over the last 3 years. Yes, he inherited a really good situation, but I think that guy can really coach. And he did it at Lipscomb. He even turned it at Stetson. He had it starting to turn before he took Lipscomb. This guy wins, and I expect he'll do the same here this year, just maybe not quite to the level because of it had in the past.
I do agree with you. I think that Belmont's still going to be relatively solid, but obviously some movement here, especially in terms of the conference. And you want to talk about moving parts? How about Murray State? They won at least 15 games in the OVC in 4 out of the last 5 seasons, but now they wind up having to replace their coach, Matt McMahon, and 4 out of their top 5 scorers, the guy that winds up returning, DJ Turnitup Burns, who wound up having nearly 6.6 half rebounds per game. Good news is, we talk about Belmont losing a few pieces. One of those pieces is Jacoby Wood that winds up coming over. He's going to look back to what he wound up doing 2 seasons ago, and as they always say, don't be a drag, be a queen. Coming over from Queens NC, Jabari Smith, he tore it up at the D2 level. 6'8" combo player, 18.7 boards, shot 40% from 3. Quincy Anderson at D2 Minnesota State, Mankato, he was absolutely magnificent. Harlan Lesson is someone with a little bit of upside. Kenny White Jr. wound up having some good numbers out there in the OVC. Certainly this team wound up hitting the transfer portal to bring in some talent, but if these guys coupled with Rob Perry, who wound up putting up 16 points per game at sets and are able to get down the offense, if this team can really just find a way to be able to gel, there's a lot of talent on this roster.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Prohm had to start from scratch. With the exception of Burns, I mean, it was pretty much, you know, go out and flip this roster in the spring. And Matt McMahon basically had to do the same thing at LSU. All a trickle-down effect from Will Wade. And, you know, I give Prohm a lot of credit. He didn't rush. I think when you're in a spot when you have 10 open or 11 open scholarships or whatever number they had, you just take guys. And I thought they did a good job kind of throughout the offseason pacing themselves. Yes, they had to be in a hurry, but you know they were able to wait on a guy like Brian Moore, who became their point guard, who I think will be a guy who could be one of the better point guards in this league, a guy that you know Murray State has had such good point guards over the years. I think he can be next in line, really good JUCO product. Not a great shooter, but a guy who is really, really shifty and get downhill and really score it. So I think that Moore-Perry backcourt looks appealing, and then you have the experience with Burns and the talent with Jamari Smith in the front court. And I think that's enough to be, again, competitive. Do I think they're going to win the league? No, but could they finish anywhere from, you know, 2nd to 7th? Yeah, I think they could, and I think you feel pretty good about that in year one in the Valley, moving up in the league with a coaching change and all that. And again, you know, a guy like Prohm who's won it, this place understands how to win. They're going to be fine in the Valley long term, and I thought he did a good job this offseason, all things considered.
I do agree with you. Steve Prohm, as we know, is a man that has had quite a bit of success at Murray State as well. I expect nothing less in time number 2 for him. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Kevin Sweeney. He does a great job over there at Sports Illustrated along with the CBB Central podcast. And then we talk about all the moving parts with Murray State. Missouri State has a lot of moving parts as well. As last year, it was Isaiah Mosley and Gage Prim that wound up just completely dominating this offense. Now they wind up hitting the transfer portal. Chance Moore, a former top 100 recruit from the class of 2021, 6'6" combo player, comes in from Arkansas. James Graham, the number 2 rated recruit from the state of Wisconsin a few seasons ago, didn't see a lot of playing time in Maryland. He comes in. Matthew Lee, a part of that Elite A team with St. Peter's, the Peacocks. He enters in, and then what I really think is big for them, they get in a guy in Kendall Moore, who was a 4-year starter at Colorado State. We saw them being able to do some good things. They also wind up bringing back Donovan Clay, who was able to give the team 8.6 at boards, a block per contest. Under the radar, Jonathan Mogbo, he winds up coming in. He was a top 25 recruit, according to JUCORecruiting.com. So this team did not leave any stone unturned in terms of the guys that they wind up bringing in via the transfer portal. Might take a little bit of time for Missouri State to be able to piecemeal this together. And I could see this being one of those teams that they struggle early, but they wind up getting hot late and are that team that you don't want to play in the conference tournament.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the talent's there. I think you give Dana Ford credit and their staff. They recruited at a high level. They lost one of their top assistants to Northwestern State, and he has recruited at a high level for them over the years, Corey Gibson. So the fact that they kind of didn't miss a beat, I think, says a lot about Dana, says a lot about the rest of the guys that they have on staff. And yeah, again, it's going to take a while for this thing to gel. You're taking a chance, I think, on some personalities. You know, guys who didn't work out at their first destination and moved on very early, like James Graham. I think that's always something that's a bit of a red flag. But at the end of the day, I think what you're hoping for is that you've got good, solid guard play with Kendall Moore and Brian Trimble, two very proven commodities in college basketball at a comparable level. And then you hope with all this athleticism and this talent on the combo forwards and up front start to shine through, right? Whether it's Graham, whether it's Chance Moore, whether it's Clay, who I really like, whether it's Mogbo, whether it's Dalen Reginald from Georgia. I mean, they have several guys who fit that mold. So, yeah, again, I think this is a team that has some real promise. But how it comes together, I think that's really an open question. And they basically are another team that's starting completely fresh.
Yep, I do agree with you there. I think that it's going to be interesting to see how that winds up coming together. And what else I think is so fascinating as well is Northern Iowa has really cranked up their tempo a little bit in recent seasons. They actually wound up winning the regular season in the Missouri Valley Conference, but they wind up losing A.J. Green from last season. And now, as a result, they're going to look to guys that they didn't wind up having as big of years last year to be able to pick it up. Austin Fife wound up seeing his production drop to right around 5.5 points per game after he was notching right around 11.5 points per contest the last two seasons. They wound up having Bowen Bourne really regress from what was a very good freshman season. But I think the gentleman from Turkey, I'm sure I'm going to say this name wrong, but Ege Pekseri, he was someone that wound up playing for the under-20 Turkish national team. I think that he's going to be an interesting piece for a Northern Iowa team that I think the biggest key for them is just finding a way to piecemeal the production that is going to be lost by A.J. Green, because it's not going to be just one guy that does it.
Without question. I mean, I think the one thing that you do feel good about is Bourne in the backcourt. And Heisey as well. Those are two guys that if you talk to coaches around the league, they think very highly of. You know, coaches who've coached in the Missouri Valley, who've coached against Bowen Bourne, are deathly afraid of Bowen Bourne's ability to make shots, his toughness, his ability to compete. I mean, that kid is just so hard-nosed and gritty. And I think he will be a good piece. I wouldn't be surprising if he blossoms into a potential elite guy. But to me, the real concern area is behind him. I don't know who's scoring, right? I mean, Fife, it would be great if he comes back. I know he was dealing with long COVID. He had issues with his ability to be conditioned and be in good enough shape to be on the floor for more than a couple minutes at a time. And that was something that hurt them last year. But last year, they were able to lean on the fact that they could play small with Noah Carter at the five. Now Noah Carter's gone. I don't know how you navigate that. So I think this could be a down year. Obviously, this is a coach in Ben Jacobson who's very, very well regarded, but also who isn't a guy who's going to, you know, run to the portal and fill up with those guys. This is a multi-year thing with all these guys. So you start to look and you say, can, you know, Trey Campbell elevate his game? Can Titan Anderson, Turkish kid you mentioned, can he be someone who makes a surprise impact and is able to really contribute from day one? You're just looking for guys to fill out a rotation and give you a shot, because, you know, I'll take Ben Jacobson and his dudes versus a lot of other coaches and their dudes, regardless of who the dudes are. That's just how good a coach he is. I just don't know if they have enough dudes right now.
Yeah, but I do think that they might want to get back to the slower style that has always made Northern Iowa so successful. As I mean, really, over the last 2 years, it's been the first time in a decade that we've seen this team be above the top 300 in terms of possessions per game as well. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Kevin Sweeney. He does a great job over there at Sports Illustrated. As I wind up doing my previews for the upcoming college basketball season, there are teams that fit into the mold of the more that I look at them, the more that I like them. Bradley is one of these teams. They were 51st in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They were in the top 20 in rebound rate. And Rink Mass, the 6'9" gentleman, is back after he had 8.5 rebounds per game. Malavi Leods is a 6'9" combo player. He's able to pop some threes. Deshaun Henry was limited to only 12 games last season. He notched 10 points per game. He is back now. Losing Terry Roberts is big, but I think that bringing in Duke Dean from Troy going to be able to help this team out. Connor Hickman showed some flashes last year as well. Christian Davis, D2 transfer from Lemoyne. He shot 38% from three. Brian Wardle has been able to do a very solid job at Bradley the last few seasons, and I think that this is a bunch that is going to be very, very pesky and might find themselves towards the top of this conference.
They fit the mold of a good Wardle team, and they fit the mold of a good Valley team, because they're long, they're very physical, but they have guys who can make shots, right? I think when you play the slower tempos that this league tends to dictate, you need to be able to make threes late in shot clocks. And I think this group is made to be able to knock down shots because of guys like Hickman, like Davis, who they bring in, like Duke Dean, like Tyven Einen, and they have enough shooting. I think the point guard spot is the question. And you mentioned Dean. I think he'll contribute there. I also think the junior college kid, Pop Weathers, is a guy that I think that they hope can contribute at the point guard spot. So I think that's the one thing that holds me back from maybe saying it's the top 75 caliber team, a team that I think could win this league. But certainly they'll be really, really solid. They're not going to be an easy out. I mean, every time I watched them, I felt like they got better last year. And that should be a scary thing for the rest of the Valley, considering what they bring back.
For fans of root canals, how about if we take a look at another team out there in the state of Illinois, Southern Illinois. They were, for the fourth straight season, 300th or lower in terms of possessions per game, 355th out of 358 D1 teams, but they've got a guy that's able to fill it up, Marcus Domas, kid from Waupun, Wisconsin, 15 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 35.5% 3-point shooter. Lance Jones was able to help him out. They return in the backcourt, and Xavier Johnson, I think, could wind up turning around the fortunes of this program. That should be able to take a little bit off the plate of Marcus Domas. We saw him have some good numbers while he was over at George Mason, being able to register right around 4.5 assists per contest. They bring in Juwan Newton from Evansville. The big question is getting a little bit more rebounding. J.D. Miula is going to need to do a little bit more, in my opinion. But you take a look at the backcourt of Southern Illinois, they are going to be very, very pesky. And that Southern Illinois style just winds up wearing out a lot of teams as well.
I almost, with this group, wish that Coach Mullins would push the pace a little bit. I mean, obviously, he's a Porter Mosier disciple. It's going to be a disciplined team. But I don't think they need to win 44-39 anymore. I think early on in his tenure, that was the only way, was the fact that they just didn't have the skill level or the talent. I think they do now. I'd like to see them space it out and give guys a little bit more freedom. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of that. I mean, obviously, again, with limits. But I think they have a very good chance to be a top 100 team. The addition of Xavier Johnson, like you mentioned, is really valuable because while he's not a great shooter, he's a really solid game manager. And that allows Lance Jones to play off the ball. Jones is more of a scorer than a true point guard. He's had to be that, you know, initiator. Him and Domas have had to do so much. I think having Johnson, the hope down there, from what I've heard, is that that will, you know, allow them to take a breather, to let them focus on scoring the basketball. I think Newton will be able to score for them. And I think their front court woes can be solved by Clarence Rupert. Rupert was a really good recruit. He goes to St. Peter's, was a contributor, obviously had to duke it out with Oscar Tshiebwe and Zach Eady and the bigs that they had to face throughout the NCAA tournament. Did a very good job, stayed out of foul trouble for the most part. He's got good size. He can stretch the floor a little bit. I think we're going to look back at the end of this year, and Rupert's going to be more under the radar addition to the Valley in terms of his impact. I think it's a big reason why I think they'll be, you know, that top 100 level team.
And here could be an under the radar addition as well. A gentleman that comes in from Virginia is joining me on the podcast. We do have Kevin Sweeney, does a great job at Sports Illustrated. And that would be the fact that Malachi Boindexter, he is going to be going to Normal, Illinois. Not too much has been normal out there in Normal, Illinois, with Illinois State, as they wound up canning Dan Mullen towards the end of last season, as Mueller was just unable to get the job done. So Ryan Padon, he was an assistant at Ohio State. He comes in to help out a program that has lost at least 15 games in each of the last 5 seasons. But Kendall Lewis is back after he was able to notch 9.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game last season. Cole Sandage was very solid at Western Illinois. He's a guy that's able to put up 13.5 points. He's able to dish out a few assists. And then Joe Petrakis, 6'10" forward, that's able to pop some threes. That's solid. I do think that Malachi Poindexter, a little bit of an X factor for the team. They bring in Seneca Knight as well, which he, a few seasons ago at San Jose State, put up 17.5 points, right around 5.5 boards. He's able to be relatively solid. Lots and lots of moving parts here. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they wind up forming themselves, because there's talent here with Illinois State. Question is, can it wind up coming together?
Yeah, I think it's a tier below talent-wise of what Murray was able to bring in, what Missouri State was able to bring in their rebuilds. Obviously, the challenges that Ryan Peden walked into weren't necessarily easy, and, you know, probably that roster was going to be tricky. I think he did a solid job, but I do think that, you know, maybe, you know, when you compare it to some of the other rebuilds, it's a little bit slower. I do think that they did a good job of building some long-term flexibility, though, which is really important. And I think you see that with their 2023 recruiting. I know they landed Ty Pence, who's from the region and is a really, really talented prospect, guy that a lot of other schools in the Valley and in the Atlantic 10 were interested in. Belmont was interested. I know Loyola Chicago had offered. So that's where you're hoping for in the future, is you're hoping this year can kind of set the tone. And you're hoping a lot of these guys, since they have eligibility remaining, can set the tone, right? If you're Luke Kasubke from Kansas State, he's a guy I really liked from MoCam a couple years ago on the UIBL circuit. Is he a guy that finds himself one level lower? You know, someone like Poindexter, who you mentioned, he was gritty and tough at Virginia. Is he good enough to be a starting point guard in the Valley? We'll see. I think right now Darius Burford from Elon probably gets the nod, but we'll see what happens there. So a team that finishes towards the bottom, but I think it wouldn't surprise me if Peden's able to, you know, kind of scrap it together with kind of a whole's better than the sum of the parts mentality and position themselves well for the end of the season. I think that's what you really hope for year one, is just show some progress and then continue to bring in talent as we go.
I agree with you there, and I do think that it's interesting that while we see a lot of teams utilizing the transfer portal, this is a team that they're going to be running it back from last season. That would be the Drake Bulldogs. They have made the NCAA tournament in a few of their last three seasons, and they've got each of their top four scorers back from really that team that wound up making the 2021 NCAA tournament, as they're probably going to be looking to, okay, Jumgoose, who wound up shooting 48% from three-point range, play a little bit more of a role, and Roman Penn to be able to get back to form as well. Shot just 23% from three-point range last season, was down a little bit in terms of his assists, but Garrett Sturts at 6'3" is one of the best rebounders for his size that you're going to find in the country. I think the big question is Tucker DeVries. He was the team's leader in scoring last season, but it felt like he wasn't necessarily efficient, and it felt like, honestly, it was a little bit of a downgrade having him in there compared to when they wound up making the NCAA tournament a few seasons ago. But they also add in Sadar Calhoun, who played a nice role on Florida State a few seasons ago when they made the NCAA tournament. Got a lot of guys back for this Drake team, and I do think that with year number two with the sophomore in DeVries, not the coach, but the player, I think that that's going to be able to help them out quite a bit.
Tucker's unbelievably talented, and I thought that he was really, really good at times. I think, you know, when you mentioned the efficiency, I think one of the things you have to remember was Penn's injury, right? I mean, Penn wasn't healthy throughout last year. That's part of the reason his numbers dropped. He also missed some time. Putting the amount of usage that they had to put on Tucker to just, you know, function still as a team. You know, remember what they had to do with Joe Yesufu 2 years ago. It was a similar kind of usage bump. And I just didn't know that Tucker was necessarily always ready for it. But I can tell you that dude scares people because of his ability to go create shots and his ability to score. And I think he'll be probably the best player in the Valley. And you combine that with Penn, who's so physical. I mean, the rest of this team, they're just so old, so smart, so physical. They know what DeVries wants. They used so much last year, that small ball lineup where Sturts essentially functions as the five offensively. You know, defensively, they had Murphy and Hemphill. And I think they'll miss that a little bit for their ability to play small. But Sturts was essentially operating as a five. He's a screener. He's a diver to the rim. And I think that's valuable. So, you know, I think you're looking for one more piece. Hopefully that's Calhoun. But I think this is the best team in the Valley on paper.
I think that Drake has a whole bunch of talent. I do think that Tucker, just having now a year of chemistry with his guys, I think that is going to be able to help them out so much as well. And then you've got a team that's going to be really running it back. How about Indiana State going the D2 route as Kovisier McCauley? He was playing the last two seasons at DePaul after he was a D2 All-American while he was at Lincoln Memorial, which is where Josh Schertz used to coach. He comes in and they really want to go on the D2 route this offseason. Cade McKnight, who wound up having 19 points, 6.5 boards, was able to put up some great numbers last season. He comes into the fold. Mason Miller, he was able to give the team 14 points, shot nearly 45% from three. He comes in. They did a good job of picking off a lot of the Lincoln Memorial guys that Schertz was coaching a few seasons ago, like Xavier Blitzen, who now returned after having a year at the D1 level. Jason Kent, he winds up coming in from Bradley as well. Really interesting bunch here in Indiana State. And when they were fully healthy, because COVID ravaged this team in the month of January, they were playing at the fastest style out there in the Missouri Valley Conference. And it's going to be interesting to see if they stick to their guns. And with everyone fully healthy, if towards the middle of the season they're able to get everyone firing all cylinders, if they look to push the pace on a bunch of teams that perennially play extremely slow.
They're hard to guard because of the way that they cut, the way that they move. I think the one thing that they really missed last year was having a true center. They also missed, obviously, Tyreek Key going down before the season. That was a big deal. Just not having that presence in the paint, I think, really hurt them. And so the hope would be that McKnight can be that. You mentioned McCauley. I think he's a guy who could score at this level. And then you have, you know, some of these guys who are running it back, who've been around this program, like Bledson, like Julian Larry. So I think there's upside here. I really do. I like Jason Kent a lot. I like him at Bradley. I think he'll be a good player there. He's long. He's athletic. Got a great body. I absolutely think this team has kind of sleeper potential because I think Schertz is going to really, really do a good job with X's and O's. I'm very confident of that after having watched him last year up close and personal. And I just think that the job that they do combined with the talent now coming in should be a scary thing for the rest of the league.
I do think so as well. I think it's going to be interesting to see what we wind up getting out of Indiana State, and going to be interesting to see what we wind up getting out of Evansville as well, as their biggest victory of this season may have come in the offseason because they fired Todd Licklider and they hire on David Ragland. There were rumors that they might be looking at Tom Crean, but by not hiring Tom Crean, Evansville, they wind up getting a massive victory right there. I guess Dwayne Wade wound up forgetting to give Evansville a call for him. But with that said, Ragland comes in as a Butler assistant, took the job on May 24th. So this is a little bit rough. They do wind up bringing in a few transfers. Marvin Coleman, while he was fully healthy at UNLV, good Swiss Army knife guy, not necessarily a prolific scorer, but a guy that's able to dish out the ball, is able to do a solid job on defense. Kenny Strawbridge the last two seasons at Alabama State, right around 10.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. But really, other than Blaise Beauchamp, who was able to shoot about 36% from three, and Antoine Smith, who had 5 points per contest last season, not a lot to speak of. Sekou Kalé comes in as a 6'10 gentleman from Akron. But, I mean, for Evansville last year, they were 355th nationally in rebound rate. They were playing at a slow pace, and yet they were still in the bottom 75 in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. This is a nightmare of a job for David Ragland, but I do think that he's got the right idea in mind. This is going to be a rebuilding year for them, though.
There are only 363 Division I head coaching jobs, so when you can get one, you're usually advised to take it, and particularly a Missouri Valley job. But this is a yeoman's task ahead of David Ragland because of when he takes the job, because of where the roster is. I mean, I remember I went to Loyola versus Evansville in March, their senior day for Loyola, and you know, it's Lucas Williamson's getting sent off and all those guys. And Loyola beat them 83-31. I mean, it was just dreadful. Evansville was far worse, followed around Coppin State, you know, a mid-level MEAC team early in the season. They played Loyola. Evansville was far worse. The roster was just in disarray. And again, I think Rags did a good job with guys like Coleman, like Strawbridge. Maybe give you a chance. But I mean, look, every win this year is a success. Anything that they can do, whether it's, you know, even if they can't stay out of the last place, it just needs to do something to show a little bit of promise. So something to sell to recruit, something to sell to AAU coaches and say, hey, look, we're doing this. People like David Ragland. He's a really good person to be around. He's very well liked in the coaching profession. You know, people will want to go to bat for Rags. They just have to do something to show some progress along the way.
Yep, and I think that we need to see a little bit more progress out of this program as well as Valparaiso, since they wound up having the coaching change to Matt Lottage and they wound up going to the MVC. It's been rough. They've been in the MVC for now 5 seasons. They have lost at least 16 games in every single season. They have yet to be able to post up a record above 9-9 in the MVC in terms of conference play. So it's really going to be a big year here for Matt Lottage, in my opinion. And bad news wound up coming down literally before we wound up recording this podcast, in that Thomas Kithier, main low post presence, 6.5 rebounds per game, career-ending injury from, goodness, this Kobe King, not only does he have eligibility, he's not even a senior yet. How? I have no idea. It feels like this guy has been around college basketball for about 57 years at this point, but he's back after he wound up having 14 points per game. Ben Cricky, relatively versatile player, 14 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. But what I think is very intriguing about this team as well, Nick Edwards, the D2 Glenville State transfer, 17 points, 6 boards, 8 assists, just Mr. Do-It-All at the lower level last season. Small sample size, but played through relatively well. This wound up being, as I joked last year, Big Ten South, as you wound up having like half the roster be made up of transfers from the Big Ten. Fewer of those guys this season. They've went down to the D2 level for guys like Quentin Green and company. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this pans out. But I take a look at the rest of the conference, and it still feels like Valparaiso, a notch below darn near everyone other than Evansville.
Yeah, this is tricky. I mean, big year for Lottick, like you said. 100% in agreement there. I think this is probably a hot seat year for him. King helps, but I think Kithier made them hard to guard. When I watched them last year, I thought that Kithier's ability to scream, and then, you know, they ran so many of these kind of rubs at the top, and they had King who could make shots, Sheldon Edwards who could really create shots, Kavion Taylor, I think his name was, the Division II transfer from like Winona State, he could create shots. So, you know, they had these two bigs in Cricky and Kithier who could just scream and slip and move. They were very mobile bigs. And they could pop occasionally and hit a three. That was dangerous. I guess you'll lose that without Kithier. And I think that concerns me. Obviously concerns me that they don't have as much shot creation with Edwards going off to Loyola Chicago, with Kavion off to another life, presumably, graduate, get a job, you know, the normal things that people do. But I think this roster's in not great shape. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished better than
you know, second to last. I think, you know, potentially UIC could be in that mix. I think Illinois State could be in that mix. You know, King is a really good player, but I don't see where this is really going. Like, there's nothing about this that excites me. And I think if you're a Valpo fan, you're starting to think about maybe it's time for a change.
Yeah, it's been relatively rough for Valparaiso. They are now the Beacons, by the way, so always have to take note of that. And then we've got another team that is joining the Valley in that is not coming in from the OVC, and I think it might be a relatively tough year for them. That'd be UIC, with UIC, ironically enough, Zion Griffin actually winds up heading over to the Ohio Valley Conference, so got a little bit of that going on. But I take a look at Luke Yaklich. He's been able to do a very solid job as a coach overall when he was at Michigan, was really a mastermind for a lot of those defenses that were able to make Final Fours. They were able to be very competitive. But I did take a look at the UIC bunch. They do wind up losing quite a bit of their backcourt from last season. And I think that's going to be a relatively rough outlook for a team that wound up finishing right around 500 in a down horizon league last season, coming into this loaded conference with really their main transfer being Tyler Stevenson from Southern Miss.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky. I mean, particularly the defense is just not carried over with Yak, and I think that's something that surprised me. It wouldn't surprise me if he eventually gets there, right? I think he's a really good ball coach, but, you know, they got to find a way. I think Franklin being back helps them in the backcourt. Jace Carter's a guy I like a lot, but they really need good point guard play this year from Trey Anderson, the kid coming in from Idaho. Turnover heavy guy for the Vandals, was at San Francisco with Todd Golden at one point. So I don't necessarily have high hopes, but there is some talent here, but it's just often felt throughout the tenure that, you know, they're just assembling pieces, not necessarily building a cohesive roster. And I'm not sure that I see it any different this year right now. We'll see if they change my mind. I'm certainly right in my backyard and looking forward to heading to practice and see how they operate. But right now, I would probably have them near the bottom of the league.
A man that takes note of everything in college basketball, that would be you, my good friend Kevin, as you do an amazing job taking a look at all these conferences. I know that you just bleed Missouri Valley Conference basketball. You do a great job covering this conference, but you joined me for quite a few other conference previews already this offseason. You're doing an amazing job getting set for the upcoming season, so let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you, and how people can follow along with your work on social media and other platforms.
Well, certainly excited about the fact that we still have the Valley in Chicago with UIC coming into the league. Follow me on Twitter at @CBB_Central. Got a lot of stuff coming along for the offseason, and also doing some prep for the future classes as well. I've been out all week at the Under Armour Next 24, which is a 2023 through 2025 event that has gotten, you know, basically an All-American game, that like the McDonald's game or something like that, that is really productive to scout for the future. So the work never quite stops. Appreciate you having me, Greg.
And Kevin, doing an amazing job taking a look at the game of college basketball. Always does amazing work whenever he joins me on these conference briefs, and did a solid job once again today. Big thanks to Kevin for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSIN family podcast. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast that I give you my projector or finish for the Missouri Valley Conference.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Oops-Pierce, and now a part of the Beeson Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to get Kevin Sweeney on the show. Does an absolutely tremendous job taking a look at the game of college basketball, getting us all set for this upcoming season, as it is going to be a great one out there in the Missouri Valley Conferences. And we did not want to break down Loyola Chicago because they're now on the fold, but you've got so many great teams that are coming in, like Murray State along with Belmont. We've got UIC as well, but with that said, going to be a great year in this conference, and hey, who knows, maybe we'll see a team or two be able to crack the top 25. So a big thanks to our good friend Kevin for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you my projector or finish for the Missouri Valley Conference, as per usual, because I am doing a conference preview today. All the news and notes that we wind up seeing in college basketball on Thursday, I'm going to be polishing those up tomorrow, so I have no fear there. If there was anything that was missed from Thursday, we are going to be getting that taken care of tomorrow. But let's go through these teams. Dead last, number 12 in my projector of finish. This shouldn't come as too much of a shock. It is the Purple Aces of Evansville. Evansville does wind up bringing in a few pieces, and they do wind up having Blaise Beauchamp from last season, but really the only sort of win that this team wound up getting was by not hiring Tom Crean in the coaching search. But you still wind up having a case in which you're bringing in a coach in late May, trying to get him to be able to have things online. And I do think that David Raglan going to be able to do a solid job overall, but Kenny Strawbridge, 10.5 points, 5.5 boards per game out there in the SWAC, is one of your main pieces. Marvin Coleman is a little bit of a Swiss Army knife guy that was never too much of a great shooter. Sekou Kale, he wound up seeing limited minutes at Akron last season. This team was 355th in the country in rebound rate. I mean, this team was, I believe, dead last in the country in terms of overall offensive rebound rate. There's just not a whole lot of redeeming qualities when it comes to this team. I think that it's going to be a really, really rough year for Evansville. I think that they wind up avoiding going winless in conference. I don't know how much better than winless they do wind up going, though. So, at number 12 in my projector of finish, it is going to be the Purple Aces that wind up coming in here. At number 11, we're going to go with UIC. UIC wasn't necessarily too great out in the Horizon League last season, and now they wind up having to go into a loaded Missouri Valley Conference, which, I mean, it's better than the Horizon League. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You do wind up having Demaria Franklin back in fold. He was able to put up 18.7 boards per contest, so this guy is very solid, but he only shot right in the neighborhood about 30% from three-point range last season. Jalen Jackson is certainly someone that they're going to be relying upon once again, as well as he, Jalen Warren, a guy that wound up putting up right around 8.5 points per contest. These are two guys that they're really going to need to step up for this bunch. They didn't wind up bringing in a heck of a lot via the transfer portal, and they wind up losing Zion Griffin, who I really liked for this team. He wound up being able to shoot about 33% from three-point range, but with UIC, fundamentals going to be big for the team, as they were outside the top 200 in terms of free throw shooting percentage last season. They lose one of their top three-point shooters from a bunch at inside the top 250 when it came to three-point shooting percentage. Now, they did a good job of limiting the amount of threes that team took last season, but they were still 333rd in terms of opponent's three-point shooting percentage. And Luke Jakic, his main thing is that he's supposed to be a good defensive coach. That did not wind up proving to be the case for UIC last season. Now they're going to have to play against a bunch of teams that are far superior on the defensive end. I don't see this working out well for them. I've got UIC number 11 in terms of my projector or finish. At number 10, I'm going to be going with Valparaiso. There's a chance that Valparaiso could have been a notch or two higher, but the career-ending injury to Thomas Kithier wound up averaging 10 points, 6 half-boards, and a little bit over 2 assists per game. That really hurts them. Ben Cricky is someone I like. He was able to put up 14 points, right around 4.5 rebounds per game, but they were 352nd in the country in misses that wound up resulting in an offensive rebound, and missing Kithier from that. That is absolutely brutal. Now, the good news is Glenville State transfer Nick Edwards, he's a stat sheet, suffered 17 points, 6 boards, 8 assists, shot 39.5% from 3-point range, limited sample size at the D2 level, but he was solid. But when Quentin Green, who comes in from D2 Cedarville, is expected to be one of your main 3-point shooters, that's not great. Trevor Anderson, he wound up being a little bit banged up last season, 9 points, 3.5 boards, 2.5 assists per contest. He's got a relatively good skill set as well, but I mean, this team is going to come and go with Kobe Kango. Average 14 points per contest, wound up missing the first couple games of last season due to, I believe, eligibility issues, as Kobe King has had a long and winding road. Was at Wisconsin, then he was at Nebraska, now he's at Valparaiso. Soon he'll be on the LIV Golf Tour. We just don't know with that guy, and I don't know if he's going to be able to elevate Valparaiso much more so. With the Beacons, I might have called them the Crusaders, and if so, I do apologize, but with that said, with the Beacons, I've got them number 10 in my projector or finish. At number 9, I'm going to be going with Illinois State. Illinois State has a talent to be able to creep into more of the middle part of this conference, but you got so many moving pieces, and you got a bunch that they just in recent years have not been able to come to the forefront. Seneca Knight is someone that you're able to get excited about. When I was at San Jose State, was never necessarily a supreme three-point shooter or anything like that, but put up good numbers a couple seasons ago. 17 points, 5.5 boards, 2.5 assists per contest. I wonder who's going to be the main rebounder for this team, because Joe Petrakis, he is 6'10", but he's a little bit more of a stretch big man. He only averaged 3.2 rebounds per game at Western Carolina last season, while beginning his career at Kansas State. Luke Kazabuke is also someone that wound up beginning his career at Kansas State, did not wind up being able to put up too much in terms of that. Liam McChesney, one of the few guys that winds up returning, he's a okay 3-point shooter. He's able to give you a little bit of size, has never proven to be someone that is able to do a solid job as a primary low post presence, though. Kendall Lewis, guy that's able to shoot right around 37.5% from 3-point range, but Illinois State, they were a sieve on defense last year. Lyon Peden, I think, is going to be able to do an okay job with this bunch, especially with Evan Sullivan, Colton Sandage, who's able to stuff the stat sheet, 13.5 points, 4 boards, 2.5 assists per game. But I was at Western Illinois in a Summit League in which they played no defense whatsoever. Stepping up to the Missouri Valley Conference, I think, is going to be a little bit of an issue, and I think that Illinois State, with all their moving parts, they are going to be having some issues, so I do wind up putting them number 9 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 8 is Indiana State. Indiana State, I feel like, is the biggest unknown, because when they wound up having a full roster last season, Josh Schertz, who wound up coming in from Lincoln Memorial, a team that, while they were at the D2 level, they averaged 80-plus points per contest in 5 out of his last 6 seasons. They were really able to play up-tempo. He's brought a lot of the guys that made him successful at Lincoln Memorial with him, like a Cameron Henry, like a Xavier Bledsoe, and for Henry, 14.5 points, 5.5 boards, 3 assists, a steal per game as a 6'6 combo player. Bledsoe is another guy who's right around like 6'3, 6'4, 9 points, 3.5 assists, a steal per contest. You've got a lot of guys that they play positionless basketball, which is why I do think that Jason Kent, who winds coming in for Bradley, is going to be able to do a solid job. 7 points per contest, played 15 games last season. Calix Stevens, he was able to be a relatively solid 6'7 wing as well. You just see that one guy that's able to take over a game, and Govisier Bacali is going to be a guy that's going to need to try to do this. He was at DePaul the last 2 seasons last year, 5.5 points per contest, but he was a D2 All-American while playing under Schertz a few seasons ago at Lincoln Memorial. And the big thing for Indiana State, as we were talking about with our good friend Kevin Sweeney, 356th in the country in offensive rebound rate, percentage of their misses that they were able to get an offensive rebound on. Going to be a little bit of a limiter for them, in my opinion. That's why I do have Indiana State number 8 in my projector or finish. I think that we've got a little bit of a fall off here. Number 7 in my projector or finish, it's Northern Iowa, Northern Iowa losing A.J. Green, that is brutal. They went 8-1 in their final nine games after they had a rough start to the season, found their identity late, but this is a Northern Iowa team that I think that they're going to need to get back to basics. They were 310th or lower in terms of possessions per game for six straight seasons prior to the 2020-2021 campaign without A.J. Green 2 seasons ago. They wound up having to have a little bit of a shift, but you do take a look at this bunch. Bowenborn, he needs to return to his form when he was the Missouri Valley Conference Rookie of the Year. 11 points, 2.5 assists on nearly 35% three-point shooting. I think that Nate Hesse, who does a good job of being able to generate some steals, is going to be solid out there in the backcourt, but you don't have a lot down low. Austin Fife was just not good last season. Last 2 seasons prior to last year, 11.5 points, 7.8 boards, 2.5 assists per game, 5.4 points per game last season. Ege Pagsari, he's going to need to come in. He's going to need to have a big impact. He was a relatively solid player at the 2021 Adidas Next Generation Tournament as well, coming in from Turkey, but you just lose a lot of your pieces from last season. They don't necessarily have a ton of rebounding. I think the only way forward for Northern Iowa is by slowing things down, and I do think that Ben Jacobson is going to be able to coach the heck out of this team, because I think a team like an Illinois State, like an Indiana State, they've got more talent, but I've got Northern Iowa in front of them because of that coaching advantage, because they do have guys that are able to do a relatively solid job as well. So I do think that Northern Iowa going to be able to piecemeal together a year in which they're going to be finding themselves towards the middle half of this conference. I've got them number 7 in my projector finish, and number 6 when the newcomers, Belmont. They wind up landing in this spot for Belmont. They have ranked in the top 5 in terms of two-point shooting percentage in 9 straight seasons. Absolutely insane. They're going to be turning to Keyshawn Davidson. He winds up following from the Ohio Valley Conference, where he was at Tennessee Tech last season, being able to put up right around a 3 assist to turnover ratio of 10.5 points, 3.5 boards, 4.3 assists per game, and this team is all about efficiency. Drew Freiberg, he was pretty solid while he was at Princeton, shot 39.5% from 3, 9.5 points per contest, but Ben Shepard, only of their top 5 scorers at his back end, is a good one to have. 16 points, 4 boards, shot 37% from 3, but someone like an Evan Bronze, who was the number 3 recruit from the state of Iowa, according to 247 Sports in 2020, he needs to step up. This is a Belmont team that typically they rely upon depth and guys being able to develop. We haven't seen that development recently from some of their freshmen, so I do have my question marks there, and this is a step up in competition. In the Ohio Valley Conference, I mean, they would be still my favorite to be able to win that conference if you listened to that preview a couple days ago. In the Missouri Valley Conference, not the case. I still think that Belmont is going to be solid. I still think that they're going to be efficient on offense. I do think that the defense takes a little bit of a step down, and I do have some questions when it comes to rebounding as well. So that is why I've got Belmont number 6 in my projector finish. And number 5, really hard to peg this team, but I've got Missouri State. With Missouri State, they do bring in a whole bundle full of talent. Chance Moore is someone that was a former top 100 recruit. They wind up also being able to do a solid job of bringing back one of their guys from last year and Donovan Clay, but I mean, this was Gage Prim and Isaiah Mosley's team. They were averaging as a collective right around 35 points per contest. Those guys were able to rip down rebounds like it was nobody's business, so it's a little bit of a new look bunch. You do wind up seeing a couple moves in terms of the assistant coaching as well. Brian Trimble Jr., though, he is someone that comes in from Akron. I know that our good friend Kevin wanted mentioning him. He averaged right around 12 points per contest, shot 37% from 3 for an Akron team that was one of the slowest in all of college basketball. Kendall Moore, he was a very, very good player over there at Colorado State. He averaged 6.5 points and a little bit over a steal per contest last season for a team that was in the top 25. And I mean, that was actually a career low. He's typically more like a 10 or so playing per game scorer. You should be able to do a good job of being able to run the show. They also wind up bringing in Jonathan Mogbo, who at Northeast Oklahoma A&M put up 14.5 points, 10.5 boards, a little bit over a block per contest. He should be able to shore things up down low. And if you're able to have Dallin Riginal, who winds up coming in from Georgia, and Alston Mason, who come in from Oklahoma, offer the team anything whatsoever, it's going to be big, because they also have Matthew Lee, who was part of that Peacock team that wanted to make in the Elite Eight over there at St. Peter's. But the big thing is lots and lots of moving parts. I could see a scenario in which Missouri State comes out very, very cold to begin conference play, and then they're the team that you don't want to face towards the back half of conference play, which is why I do wind up having them at number 5, because I do think that might be a little bit touch and go to start with before they wind up being able to find their groove, build a little bit of chemistry. So we've got Missouri State at number 5, and by the way, pegging 2 through 5 in this conference was one of the toughest that I've done thus far with my conference preview, so I want to throw that out there. Number 4, Murray State. The reason why I give Murray State just a little bit of an edge over Missouri State is that Steve Prohm has been there and done that with Murray State. He winds up returning to the fold. Really, the only guy that they've got returning is DJ Turnitup Burns, who wound up averaging right around 5.8 points, 6.5 rebounds per game, and 1.3 steals per contest last season. But bring in Jacoby Wood, who 2 seasons ago at Belmont, a little bit over 11 points per contest. I mentioned it with Kevin Sweeney. Don't be a drag. Go to Queens NC. Jamari Smith, 18 points, 7 boards, 40% three-point shooting. Yes, I was quoting the great Lady Gaga there. But you also bring in Quincy Anderson. He was able to average 18 points per contest in Minnesota State Mankato. I think that he's really going under the radar. They also bring in another gentleman from the OVC, Kenny White Jr. He was able to average a little bit over 10 points per contest, shot nearly 40% from three-point range. True freshman Braxton Stecker is also one of the top freshmen that winds coming into this conference as well. He was the number, I believe it was, 8 prospect from the state of Missouri for the class of 2022, according to 247 Sports. And then you got Rob Perry, a guy that's able to do a good job in the backcourt, 16 points, 2.5 assists, 35.5% three-point shooter last season. I do think that Steve Prohm going to instantly find success at Murray State, a team that won at least 15 conference games in 4 out of the last 5 seasons. I certainly think that run is going to be coming to an end because the Missouri Valley Conference, it is a brutal conference, but I do think the Missouri State going to instantly be able to find success. I've got them number 4 in my projector finish. And number 3, the Salukis of Southern Illinois. Now, the one thing with Southern Illinois is that, and I mentioned this with Kevin, they do need to find a little bit more rebounding, in my opinion, but you bring back Marcus Domask and Lance Jones. These two guys combined for 29.8 points per contest. Domask also wound up having nearly 4 assists, 5.5 rebounds per game. Lance Jones, he was able to contribute 1.9 steals per game, but now the pressure is off of Marcus Domask to be so much of a point forward because Xavier Johnson, who had 4.5 assists per game, shot 34% from three-point range in the 8-10 for George Mason. He comes in. Juwan Newton, he was at Evansville. He was one of their lone solid players as he was able to average right around 12.5 points, a little bit over 5.3 rebounds per game. He comes in. He should be able to be an instant contributor for this team. D2 East Central transfer A.J. Ferguson as a freshman last year. He shot 36% from three-point range. He's got a little bit of upside, and I do think that Trent Brown, who last year just could not find it. He averaged 2.5 points per contest 2 seasons ago. He averaged 7 points, a little bit over a steal per game, shot 39% from three. He's got some upside in J.D. Moila. He was able to give the team right around 4.5 rebounds per game down low. I do think that that is going to be very solid for them as well. I take a look at this Southern Illinois bunch. I think that they've got one of the best backcourts of really any mid-major out there in college basketball. Dalton Banks also being able to do a good job of being able to facilitate. Going to be interesting to see if Southern Illinois kicks things up a little bit more in terms of their tempo, but Southern Illinois, they've got the chops. They play great defense. I've got them number 3 in terms of my projector or finish. And number 2, I told you guys, the more I look at this team, the more I like them. The Braves of Bradley, who were number 20 in the country last season in rebound rate, top 55 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Pair of 6'9" gentlemen, Rink Mass, Malavi Leons are back with Leons 10 points, 5.9 rebounds, 1.2 blocks per contest, able pop threes as a 6'9" wing. Rink Mass, 8.5 rebounds per contest. Now, the big thing for them is that they do wind up losing their main point guard, Terry Roberts. He was able to average 4 assists, 14.5 points per contest. No other player winds up averaging more than 1.4 assists per game from the team last season, but Duke Dean, I think, is going to be able to do a very solid job. He was able to log 9 points, a little bit over 3 assists, and a steal per contest at Troy last season. Vile Devon Neven, he winds up returning as well. He was a 36% three-point shooter. I think that he might be able to dole out the ball a little bit more. And then Christian Davis, one of the more underrated transfers in all of college basketball. He was at D2 Lemoyne last season, where he averaged 14.8 points, 6.8 boards, 1.2 steals, and a block per contest. Little bit of a combo player that's able to shoot 38% from three-point range. Absolutely love his upside. Brian Wardle, I think, is one of the more underrated coaches out there in college basketball. We've seen him already be able to take Bradley, the Braves, to the NCAA tournament. I think there's a chance they could threaten for that once again. I like this Bradley team. I've got them number 2 in my projector or finish, but they just don't have the talent of our number 1 team. That would be the Drake Bulldogs. Now, Drake, if you want to take a look at them from a betting perspective, they weren't so great last season, but this is a bunch that they have had back-to-back 25-win seasons, tied for the third most wins in school history. Okejamungus, he's able to shoot 48% from three-point range. I expect him to have a little bit of a bigger role. Roman Penn, last year, just uncharacteristic of him. He was all sorts of banged up. He averaged 11.5 points, 4.1 boards, 5.6 assists per contest 2 seasons ago. I think that he gets back to that form rather than the guy that shot 22.5% from three-point range last season. 6'3", Garrett Sturts is one of the most hard-nosed guys that you're going to find in all of college basketball. 6'3", 11 points and 7 boards per game. Now, they do wind up losing Saquon Hemphill, who was big for the team, but he wound up taking a little bit of a setback last season with Tucker DeVries being able to do all that he did as the MVC Rookie of the Year, 14 points, 4.5 boards. I think his efficiency is going to be much better because now he doesn't have to take as many threes with Sadar Calhoun coming into the fold. Sadar Calhoun, while he was over at Florida State a few seasons ago, shot for right around 5.3 points per contest. His overall three-point shooting percentage in the neighborhood about 37-38% from three. I think that he's going to come in and is going to be able to make some big contributions right away for this team. Last season, he was playing for the Ramblin' Wreck of Texas Tech, so I think that that is absolutely massive. And then you've still got DJ Wilkins, who wound up shooting 39% from three-point range with 10.5 points per contest. Darnell Brody, he saw a little bit of a dip in rebounding last season. I think that he's going to get back to what he's able to do great. And Eric Norweather is going to be able to help out down low as well. He had 10 points, 4 boards, a block on 38.5% three-point shooting as a 6'10 combo player last season. Drake has all the goods to not just win this conference, but be able to get an at-large bid. They have a chance of being able to make the top 25 when it's all said and done. I've got Drake, number one, in my projector or finish in the Missouri Valley Conference. And that'll wrap things up for my Missouri Valley Conference preview right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. A big thanks to our good friend Kevin Sweeney. He does a tremendous job over there at Sports Illustrated, along with the CBB Central Podcast. He joined me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment, idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline at @unit_81. Keep in mind, letters am, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, it is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated from there. Airable fire, whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review, I'm coming at you guys every single day on this podcast during the offseason news and notes of college basketball, along with conference previews like I wound up doing today. And then once we get in season, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I will chat at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.